It's Saturday morning in Italy, and you're listening to the Magic Towns Italy podcast. Let's dive into this week's stories.
Welcome back to the Magic Towns Italy podcast with Miles and Alessia. If you've ever dreamt of escaping to Italy's dramatic peaks, those pristine lakes and, you know, the charming villages tucked away high in the Alps or Apennines, well, you're definitely not alone. But beyond the picture-perfect postcards, there's a really profound reality to Italy's mountains, and actually this summer brought quite a sobering wake-up call. We've seen some, frankly, alarming statistics coming out of the high country.
Indeed. Yeah, it's been quite shocking. Maurizio Dell'Antonio, he's the head of Italy's National Alpine Rescue Corps. He revealed this tragic statistic that really underlines it all. Over 80 mountain fatalities in Italy in just 1 month between late June and late July. Yeah, he said, and it's a powerful quote, "I've never seen a summer with so many mountain deaths. We are beyond any limit." It just brings home the stark truth, you know, these majestic places demand respect. And while those like Instagram perfect images are captivating, especially with the Milano Cortina 2026 Winter Olympics coming up fast.
Okay, so what does this mean for you listening, whether you're planning a trip or maybe even dreaming of a move? We're going to share some crucial safety insights. And for those thinking about a life among the peaks, we'll pinpoint some really ideal mountain towns for expats, for retirees. Let's dig in. Now, when most of us think Italian mountains, our minds kind of jump straight to the Dolomites, right? Those iconic jagged peaks, maybe those long queues for the perfect selfie.
Uh-huh, that's the image, but
Italy's Alps and Apennines actually have this vast, intricate network of marked trails, sentieri. They stretch far beyond those, you know, well-trodden tourist routes. And right at the heart of mapping and maintaining all this is the Club Alpino Italiano, the CAI.
Yeah, the CAI. They've been doing this for over 150 years, charting paths, teaching hikers to follow those signature red and white blazes you see painted on rocks and trees.
It's quite something.
What's truly striking is just the sheer scale of what they do. They actively maintain thousands of kilometers of trails, and they oversee more than 700 mountain refuges all across Italy.
Right, I've heard about those. Are they all pretty basic?
Well, they vary a lot. Some are simple high-altitude bivouacs, just basic shelter. But many are incredibly cozy lodges, serving up delicious local polenta, maybe some wine, really welcoming places.
Sounds amazing.
And this network of refugee, often spaced like a day's walk apart, makes hut-to-hut trekking really possible. It's super popular. Plus, CAI membership gives you practical stuff too, like discounted stays in those huts. And this is crucial. It includes mountaineering rescue insurance that covers those potentially high rescue costs.
Ah, that's really key given those figures.
Definitely. They also run guided outings, courses. Yeah, great for newcomers to learn the ropes safely. So the genius of CAI isn't just the trails. It's how they've sort of democratized access and safety for everyone. Seasoned climbers, casual walkers, everyone. It makes these potentially intimidating landscapes feel much more approachable.
Approachability is fantastic. But yeah, that support from CAI sounds absolutely vital because look, as thrilling to these adventures are, safety has to come first. And unfortunately, it seems too many hikers just venture out unprepared.
That's the problem.
It's often influenced by what Dell'Antonio called the "I want to do it too" effect from social media. You see someone on Instagram.
Right, maybe on a really tricky Via Ferrata or crossing a glacier.
Exactly, and suddenly you've gotten honest hikers trying the same thing in like city sneakers with no safety gear. I bet you've seen some sights on the trails.
Oh, you wouldn't believe it. Sometimes it looks like people are off for coffee, not climbing a mountain. Good pair of boots. Much less glamorous, maybe, but way more practical. Which brings us to the crunch point. How do you really prepare for the mountain reality, not just the photo op?
Okay, let's get practical. Tips.
Right. First, proper clothing and gear, non-negotiables, sturdy footwear, seriously, forget the sneakers, and weatherproof layers. Only about half of hikers even carry a rain jacket, which is crazy.
Only half. Wow.
Yeah. Sun protection is vital too, and for technical routes, you need the right kit. Always, always pack something warm and waterproof because mountain weather can turn on a dime. You might be waiting for help too.
Okay.
What's next? Second, navigation tools. Crucial. Don't rely on your mobile signal. It's often just not there on the mountains. Download offline maps.
Right. Offline is key.
Totally. And a traditional paper map and compass. Still excellent backups. Plus, always carry a power bank for your phone's GPS. Italy's CAI even has its own emergency app, JORSQ. It can send your exact location straight to rescuers.
That seems incredibly useful.
It really is. Third, food and water. Carry more water than you think you'll need, plus high-energy snacks, dehydration. It's a real risk, especially on tough climbs or in the heat.
Makes sense. Always pack extra snacks.
Always. Fourth, check conditions. So many accidents happen because people just don't know what they're walking into. Check the weather forecast. Those afternoon thunderstorms in summer are classic. Be aware of surprise snow or ice, even well into July at higher altitudes, winter and spring. You have to understand avalanche risks.
So if a sign or a local says, be aware of the snowfield or you need winter gear, take it seriously and be willing to turn back or change your route if things look dodgy. The mountain isn't going anywhere. It'll be there tomorrow.
Good advice. Humility is important.
Which leads to the final point. Know your limits and seek local health. Dell'Antonio mentioned some people feel it's like humiliating to ask for info. That's just silly. A quick chat with a park office or hiring a licensed alpine guide for something really challenging like a glacier crossing, that can literally save your life. There's no shame in it and no rush to conquer everything at once. The mountains are patient.
That patience is key. But let's circle back quickly to the money side. Those rescue costs. So just to clarify, rescue for medical treatment is mostly free in Italy.
Generally, yes. If you need medical attention and hospital transport, it's usually covered by the National Health Service.
But if it's not a medical emergency, like you twist an ankle and just need help getting down or you get lost?
That's where it gets tricky. They can charge you for non-injury rescues. So that helicopter ride, if a doctor doesn't say you need the hospital, yeah, that could be 750 to 1,000 euros per person.
Right, that's a significant chunk of change you weren't planning on spending.
So having good travel insurance that covers mountain rescue or that CAI membership we talked about, highly, highly recommended for anyone heading to the peaks.
Okay, message received loud and clear.
It really all boils down to that vital mantra, la montagna va respettata. The mountains must be respected. Prevention is everything. Good gear, proper training, solid information, approaching these amazing places with humility and foresight.
That wisdom is actually a perfect segue because let's shift gears now from just visiting to actually living the mountain life. It's easy to think of places like, say, Cortina d'Ampezzo as just tourist playgrounds, isn't it?
Definitely the perception sometimes.
But Italy's mountain community, those local municipalities, they're vibrant, lived in places all year round. Way beyond just the tourist seasons. Many Alpine and Apennine towns have their own schools, hospitals, weekly markets, centuries-old traditions, wine harvest festivals, even at 1,200 meters.
Yeah, absolutely. Living in a mountain town means joining a really close-knit community, people who've learned to thrive despite relative isolation, long winters, natural challenges. Sure, the rhythm's different from a big city. You probably won't find late-night supermarkets or a constant buzz of events.
That's what the trade-offs. Fresh air, incredible nature right on your doorstep.
And those really strong community bonds. People look out for each other.
Okay, so if someone's thinking about this, it's not just picking a pretty spot on the map.
Definitely not. Choosing a mountain town requires real homework because mountain town can mean so many different things. You've got bustling small cities like Trento, tiny little hamlets perched on a slope, big ski tourism hubs, quiet agricultural villages, they're all different.
So how do you narrow it down? How do you find the right fit for you?
The Town Explorer. It helps people find their ideal high altitude match. You can filter towns by all sorts of things. Elevation, how close it is to slopes, climate data, even natural hazard risk.
Oh, that's clever. So you could search for like a town above 500 meters with a train station.
Precisely. The key is finding a place that feels right for your lifestyle in all seasons. Because a town that's buzzing in August might feel very, very different come November. You need to love it then, too.
Good point. Okay, let's make this real. Here's a short list of towns that seem to offer a great balance. Scenery, community, livability.
Let's hear them.
All right, first stop, Piemonte. Let's look at Cuneo. It's a mid-sized city. About 56,000 people sits at 534 meters where two rivers meet. You get those amazing snow-capped peaks on the horizon. It's known for a relaxed vibe, incredible chestnuts and cheese.
The food in Piemonte.
Right, and it's surprisingly close to France. The Riviera is just over the mountains. It's a regional hub, big central piazza, lower cost of living than Turin, and easy access to hiking, skiing, and the Maritime Alps.
So like a good balance.
Then just 8 kilometers from Cuneo, you've got Borgo San Dalmazzo, smaller, about 12,000 residents, a bit higher at 636 meters. It's really the gateway to the Alpi Maritime Natural Park. Locals here live a proper mountain lifestyle, hiking to refuges, foraging for mushrooms. That's the weekend vibe. It has an old abbey, and even a famous annual snail festival.
A snail festival? Okay, that's definitely local culture.
Then there's Biella, also Piemonte, northeast of Turin at the foot of the Alps. Historic textile town, famous for fine wool, about 44,000 people. Elegant historic center, split level, connected by a funicular. Above it is the UNESCO site, Santuario di Europa.
So history and mountains.
Exactly. Hiking trails, alpine lakes nearby, plus city stuff like hospitals, even a brew pub and a jazz club, apparently. And one more on Piemonte, Avigliana, west of Turin, about 25 kilometers. Medieval town, famous for its two lakes and ruins. It's attracting commuters. Turin's only 30 minutes. My train and remote workers looking for that slower pace with an alpine view.
The Piemonte examples are great. What really strikes me is that blend of, you know, traditional charm, but with surprising accessibility to places like Turin. And that community spirit, like you said, the snail festival, it's quirky, sure, but it shows a real vibrant local culture that's welcoming.
That's a fantastic point. Okay, let's move region. Lombardia. First up, Lecco. It's on Lake Como, often overshadowed by Como City itself, but it's ringed by these jagged peaks. It's an active city, about 48,000 people. Industry and mountain culture mix here. Great base for hikers. Trails literally start from town, good infrastructure, and only 40 minutes by train to Milan.
Lecco's got a real energy to it, I agree. Very different from the sleepier Como villages sometimes.
Then Nembro, tucked in the Valseriana near Bergamo, more of a workaday mountain town, about 11,000 people, deep history. It's a springboard to the Arobi Alps. The whole valley has cycle paths, walking paths. There's a 35-kilometer cycle route. Nembro offers that mix of convenient supermarkets, schools, plus easy nature access for skiing, hiking, strong community feel.
And the Valseriana is lovely, very green.
And right next to Nembro, Alzano Lombardo, about 13,000 people, more of a commuter town for Bergamo blends industrial heritage with being close to the Alps, only 5 kilometers from Bergamo City, connected by tram. So maybe a bit more urban energy, big hospital shopping centers, but still a gateway to the Arobi Alps. Housing can be more affordable than Bergamo City itself.
What's compelling about those towns, especially Nembro and Alzano, is how they really fuse that everyday practicality, the jobs, the shops, the transport, with immediate access to stunning nature. They're working towns where you can genuinely live, maybe raise a family, and still have the Arobi Alps as your backyard. It's sort of pragmatic mountain living.
That balance is so important for real life, isn't it? Practicality and nature access. Okay, let's not forget Italy's other big mountain range, the Apennines. Teramo in Abruzzo, beautiful little city, 51,000 people, offers that rare mountains and sea combo.
Ah, yes, Abruzzo's unique position.
To the northwest, you've got the Gran Sasso, massive highest peaks in the Apennines. To the east, just 30 minutes drive to the Adriatic coast. Teramo itself is fairly low, but hills all around, views of high peaks. Ancient Roman routes, lovely medieval cathedral, friendly laid-back vibe.
And housing is generally more affordable in Abruzzo, right?
Yeah, that's a big plus. And new infrastructure is connecting it better to Rome now too. Back north, but different region. Veneto, we have Asiago.
Ah!
The cheese, famous for its DOP cheese, yes. Asiago sits at 1,000 meters on this big plateau, the Altopiano di Sette Comuni. It combines small city amenities with super easy access to nature, great for walking, cycling, and especially Nordic skiing in winter. It's a lively year-round place. And crucially, it's less than an hour from Vicenza, 90 minutes from Venice. Unusually well-connected for a mountain town at that altitude.
That connection is a big deal. What strikes me across all these examples is that common thread of deep-rooted community. It thrives even with relative isolation. And it's that social fabric that really generalizes the livability, especially in the off-season. In a place like Teramo, balancing mountains and sea, that's a really special duality, hard to find elsewhere in Italy.
That list really paints a picture of just how diverse the options are. But let's just focus slightly to a big event looming, Milano Cortina 2026 Winter Olympics. This is bringing huge investment into Italy's alpine regions, right? Something like $3.4 billion for loads of projects.
That's the figure, yeah. Around 94 Olympic-related projects, about 50 transport, 44 sports facilities. It's substantial.
And the idea is these improvements aren't just for the games, but to leave a lasting legacy. Better infrastructure. We're already seeing new roads, tunnels, highway upgrades near Cortina and the Dolomites, plans for better rail public transport. So for potential residents, this sounds great. Improved connectivity, maybe faster travel times, modern utilities, a big win.
It's an excellent question because there's definitely a double-edged sword aspect here.
Okay. How so?
While the benefits of better infrastructure are clear, the Olympic spotlight is already pushing up crowds and, significantly, property prices, especially in those spots like Cortina d'Ampezzo. If you dig deeper, average home prices in Cortina, they've hit 12,000 euros per square meter. That's like central Paris.
12,000 euros a square meter? Wow. Yeah.
And some top-end places are going for over $20,000 per square meter. Rents are soaring too. Apartments projected to fetch like $3,000 a night during the games. This isn't just about the Olympics, though. It shows how these big global events can totally transform local economies. Great opportunity for some, but...
But it can price out long-term residents.
Exactly. People who've lived there for generations suddenly can't afford it. Plus, the sudden influx can really strain infrastructure, change the character of these usually quieter places, at least temporarily. It's a tension we see in mountain regions worldwide when the spotlight hits.
That's a really powerful point about the global parallels. So, okay, if you are thinking about relocating around this time, what's the strategy? Here's a tip, maybe. Consider looking just beyond the immediate Olympic spotlight.
Good thing.
Italy's Alps are full of charming towns that won't actually host events, but will still benefit from the general regional upgrades. You'll likely find better value, maybe a better quality of life there. So instead of Cortina itself, maybe look at towns in the Valbelluna area or Cador. They're right next door, but probably more reasonable prices, less chaotic.
Historically, big ski events often boost the whole region, not just the host town itself.
Right? So areas like Valtellina, that's near the Bormio and Lavinia venues, or maybe the valleys around Verona, where some ice sports will happen, they might see a positive ripple effect without the same level of tourist frenzy.
Looking at the bigger picture, my advice would be, yes, the Olympics will leave a mark, infrastructure might improve, but the best strategy is always to choose a town you genuinely love, regardless of the game's temporary impact. Property markets can cool down after the flame goes out. What really counts after 2026 is the everyday life, the community, the rhythm of the place you choose. That's the long game.
What an incredible deep dive this has been. Living among Italy's peaks, it's clear these Alpine and Apennine towns offer just an amazing lifestyle. That fresh air, the breathtaking beauty, endless adventure, and that really strong sense of community we keep coming back to. From the Maritime Alps right down to Apennines, these are places where you can genuinely live well, provided, of course, you approach them with respect for the environment and for the local way of life.
It's about living with it. And with the right mindset, the right preparation, Italy's magic towns really can be a dream come true, offering a safe, fulfilling life, deeply connected to nature.
That idea of respect, of experiencing rather than conquering, feels paramount. So if your imagination is soaring now with possibilities, we really encourage you to explore further. You can find more detailed info on specific towns, those resources we mentioned, over at Magic Towns Italy. Stay safe out there, everyone, and enjoy the heights.
That's it for this week on Magic Towns Italy. You can create a free account at magictowns.it and explore over 2,000 towns, including those offering the 7% tax scheme, as well as download dozens of expat guides. We have over 200 data points per town, more than Italy's statistics authority itself, covering everything from property prices to schools, healthcare, crime, and more. If you want full access to filters and unlimited searches, upgrade to Magic Towns Premium. Use the code PODCAST for 20% off an annual plan. Thanks for listening. Our next podcast will be live on Saturday at 9 a.m.